Good morning, everyone. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to be here with you. And I believe God has been speaking to you this morning. I think He's going to keep doing that. I believe that. So we're walking through this sermon series about us together, what that means to be together as a church, as a community, as a body of Jesus Christ. And this morning we're talking about spiritual gifts. And this is a topic that God has a lot to say about. There's a lot of scripture that deal extensively with this particular subject. And I think we're going to see this morning that spiritual gifts are one of those things that God desires to build into each and every Christian. So it doesn't matter what your age is, doesn't matter what your nationality is or what your culture says or your denominational background, it doesn't matter. If you are a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, God desires, God ordains spiritual gifts for you. Now, there's no doubt on a subject like this that we could spend weeks. We could probably spend an entire year just talking about spiritual gifts. There's so much there to talk about. And I have one sermon. So we're not going to be able to go really deep into each of the individual gifts and all of that. But what we do have time for this morning, what I want to do this morning is talk about the what, talk about the why, and the how. What are we talking about when we're talking about spiritual gifts? Why are they given? How are they going to be built into our lives? And how are they going to influence and affect our lives together in community as a body of believers? So that's really where I want to go with this sermon this morning. So the New Testament talks a lot about spiritual gifts. And one of the passages that, if you're talking about spiritual gifts, you can't possibly pass by this passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I want to start this morning by reading verses 1 through 7. So let's do that now. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So, what are we talking about at a basic level? What are we talking about when we're talking about spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, we see that spiritual gifts come from God. That may seem obvious enough, but they are gifts. And that's important. The fact that these gifts, and we'll talk a little bit more later about, we'll at least go through and mention some of the specific gifts, what kind of gifts they are. But the fact that they do come from God, that they're not something that we invented or that I initiated in my own life, but they come from God, that should remind us to be what? Perhaps grateful for the gift, humble in the way that we receive, in the way that we use the gift, hopeful perhaps that God might be able to use the gift in my life in spite of the obstacles in me, in spite of what I perceive as my own limitations, God might be able to use that gift because it's His. It's something that He initiated, not me. These gifts are from God. And that in itself is significant. The Almighty Creator looks down on you and me and He says, "I'm going to give them a little piece of me in the form of an injection of my Spirit into their spirit." And He gives us something that we did not have before. Something that we could not have come up with and built on our own. Spiritual gifts come from God. We're also seeing that there are many different kinds of gifts. These verses that we just read tell us that there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of ministries, there are varieties of effects, but the same, what? The same Spirit, the same God who works all things in all people. Many gifts, but one Spirit. And that's critically important to remember, especially when you start looking at and talking about how different gifts interact with each other within the body of Christ. Just for instance, one popular example, you have some people who have the gift of prophecy. You have other people who have the gift of mercy or service. And for people with the gift of prophecy, the tendency is that they see things very black and white. It's not hard at all for them to get down immediately past all the clutter and into the heart of either the truth or the error in a situation. And buddy, they want to let you know about it. And they're very quick to expose and they want to correct the error where it exists. Whereas the person with the gift of mercy, the person with the gift of service, might be quicker to look at the person and say, how can I care for this person? How can I meet their practical needs? How can I be merciful to them in this situation instead of coming down on them with the hammer of truth and condemnation? And it might be hard for the person with the gift of mercy and the person with the gift of prophecy to see eye to eye in a specific situation. And one might be tempted to believe that the other one is going about their ministry all wrong. But they're not. There are varieties of ministries. There are varieties of gifts. But the same Spirit working through all of them. Many gifts, one Spirit. And together, in community, working together, we fill in the gaps. We soften the edges. We balance mercy with truth. And we help each other to grow and mature, and it's all through the same Spirit. Many gifts, but one Spirit. So that's just a taste of that's the what part of this sermon. That's what spiritual gifts are. What about the why? Why spiritual gifts? There's some other scripture we're going to look at. But even just in these first few verses that we've already read, we see that God has given us spiritual gifts for the good of others. Spiritual gifts are for the common good. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 told us, we read it already, that to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So spiritual gifts are given to each one of us for the good of others. Not so that I can feel good about myself. Not so that I can lord it over someone else. Not so that I can acquire a position of power or influence in the church because of the gift that's been given to me. No, it's for the common good. It's for the good of others. That's why you have the gift. Now, if your gifting just happens to be of the sort that it tends to propel you into a position of power or influence, that's fine, but that's not the point. The gift is given for the benefit of others, for the good of someone else. See, spiritual gifts are tools to be used. My gift is not for me, but God wants to build the full functionality of your gift into your life, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of others. Ephesians 4:12 says that we have been given these gifts for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are for the common good. Now, we can also clearly see, as we look at Scripture, that each gift has unique value. There are no second-class gifts. As we continue reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read verses 8 through 26. And just so you know, we'll be covering that portion of the chapter next week, and I don't want to steal that thunder, but there's a lot of overlap here, so I need to reach into that part of the chapter and pull out a few things. We'll be revisiting it next week, but I don't think I'm going to steal too much from our speaker next week. Now, this is a little bit of a long passage, but it's interesting. It's so full of life. So follow along with me here, and don't let me lose you as you read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 26. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all made to drink one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now if the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for that reason any less part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Behold, or because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body,' it's not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, then where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Okay, so God is comparing the gifts that we have and the different ways that they work in the church. He's comparing that to the workings of our physical bodies. And of course we know, common sense tells us, that even though the various parts of our bodies have different, unique functions, they all work together to allow the body to function as a whole. And it would be ridiculous to suggest that I don't need my feet because they can't put together a cohesive thought. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not their role. Or to say that my brain must be useless to me because unlike my hands, it doesn't have the power to lift a single pound. Unless, perhaps, I'm secretly Luke Skywalker. But no. Now the brain is supposed to think. The feet are supposed to walk. The hands are supposed to grasp. And if you take any one of those out of the picture, it creates real problems for the body. And our church is the same way. Scripture clearly teaches, and common sense tells us, that every gift has value. And we don't all have the same gifts. But we all have gifts, and every gift is important. And if we spend our time beating ourselves up or demeaning other people because we have different gifts, then the body suffers as a result. Every gift has value. So if we're going to keep talking about the how of God's gifts work in this community of believers, it's about time we asked, what are they? What are the gifts that God has given? So, what is your gift? Do you know? You know, there are a lot of different methods that people have developed over the years to try to figure out, to help people figure out what their gifts are. How many of you have ever done like a spiritual gifts inventory or a spiritual gifts test of some kind? Just raise your hand if you have. All right, some of you have, many of you haven't. Some of you may have no idea this is a brand new information for you, something you haven't thought about before. Depending on how you count them, there are 15 or 20 different spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. And Paul teaches here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every Christian is given a gift of some kind by the Holy Spirit working in their lives. So, what are the spiritual gifts? Well, a basic list, and this is not necessarily exhaustive, but this is pulled from various different scriptures in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. So, in no particular order, apostleship, prophecy, miracles and healing, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, evangelism, pastoral ministry, service, teaching, faith, exhortation, distinguishing of spirits, showing mercy, giving, administration, and words of special wisdom or knowledge. Now that's a lot of gifts. And we don't have time to go through each and every one of them and dig into how each and every one of them works and how they function. We need a lot more time than we have this morning. So specifically what your gift is and how it functions in your life specifically is something that needs to be looked into. It's something to certainly pray about. But this morning, let it simply be enough for our purposes this morning to say that if you are a Christian, then God has given you at least one of these gifts. And he's given it to you so that you can use it. We are all, every single one of us, are works in progress. And God is putting these gifts in our lives so that we can become what he's calling us to be and do what he's calling us to do. Now, just to be clear, It's true that every one of us are gifted in one of these things. Every one of us has been given a gift, a special, unique gift by God. But Scripture also makes it clear that that doesn't excuse us from functioning in other ways outside of our gifting. Okay? This is important. So listen to this now. Let me put it this way. There are certain people who have been given the gift of ministry. But every single one of us, as a Christian, has been called to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. There are people who have the gift of exhortation. But we are all called to exhort one another in Hebrews 10:25. Some people have the gift of giving. But we are all called in 2 Corinthians 9:7 to give. There are some people who have the gift of mercy. But we are all called, every single last one of us is called to be kind. Ephesians 4:32. There are some who have the gift of faith. But we are all called. Every single one of us are called to walk by faith. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:7. There are some who are called to be evangelists, given the gift of evangelism. But we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. None of us are exempt from that. Whether it's our calling, whether it's our gift or not, we are all called to be witnesses. So while a particular person might have a specific gifting as a minister, I'm not excused from functioning as a minister as those situations present themselves where I need to do that in my family, in my church, or whatever situation God might lead me into, even if I'm not gifted in that area. You know, Dwight might not be gifted in exhortation. I'm not saying you're not, Dwight. Maybe you are. But that wouldn't excuse you from speaking truth into someone's life when God puts that person in front of you and asks you to do that. You know. My mom, Rhoda, you might not have the gift of mercy, although I know that you do. But even if you didn't, that wouldn't excuse you from the responsibility when God brings that person into your life of dropping everything and just being kind, just showing mercy to that person who needs that mercy in that moment. God has given us each specific gifts, and we need to learn what they are. And we'll find great fulfillment when we function in them, and we'll be effective in ministry when we function in those gifts. But there's an overarching truth. There's an umbrella that stretches over all of that, over all of our gifts, and that is that we need to love one another. We are called to love. We are to be about the business of loving each other and loving people. Remember what Jesus said, and we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. What did Jesus say when the people said to him, "Master, what's the greatest commandment?" And I'll paraphrase what Jesus said. He said, "Look, I'm going to boil it down for you. Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. You're done. Love God, love your neighbor." And when we're loving the people around us, then we should find ourselves willing to serve outside of the areas that are our particular gifting. And as God matures us, we'll see ourselves fitting into different places, even if it's not our specific gift. But I think I'm rambling a little bit. Where were we? We were talking about how every gift has value, right? So keep that idea in mind. That's made just so abundantly clear as we go through the first part of this passage. Every gift has value. I don't know how it could be any more clear. So keep that in your mind as we go to the next statement here, okay? In between verses 26 and 31, Paul rattles off, he lists some of these gifts. And then he says something very interesting in the first part of verse 31. He says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." Earnestly desire the best gifts. So when we're talking about how these gifts will work in our lives, how these gifts are going to work in our community, apparently we're being told we should seek the best spiritual gifts. Seek the best spiritual gifts. Wait a minute. Time out. Didn't we just get finished firmly establishing that all the gifts have value? That there are no second-class gifts? And now we're being told to seek the best, earnestly desire the best spiritual gifts? What's up with this? Is there a conflict here? Does this mean that to have the gift of mercy is better than to have the gift of prophecy? Or that to have the gift of exhortation is better than the gift of service? Or pick your gift. Got to find the best ones. I don't think it means that at all. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I want to invite you, come on out on this limb with me. It's nice out here. I think you'll like it. But I'm going out on a little bit of a limb. Let me ask you something. What is the best gift? What is it? See, I believe the answer to that question is not established. I believe the answer to that question will vary depending on who you ask. What is the best gift? For instance, if God has given me the gift of exhortation, then mercy may not be the best gift for me. If God has given Pastor Joe the gift of teaching, then the gift of giving may not be the best gift for him. But maybe Louise has the gift of giving. That's the best gift for her, not the gift of teaching. Maybe Rhoda has the gift of mercy, and that's the best gift for her, not the gift of prophecy. It would be like a square peg in a round hole. It's the best gift for her. You see where I'm going with this? I believe God is calling each of us individually, specifically in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to desire and seek out the gift that God has given you individually. Whatever that may be, you should desire and seek out your best gift. And I should do the same. Does that make sense? And if the hand refuses to accept its function as a hand because it somehow, for some reason, believes that being a foot is better, that's a better part, then the body's going to suffer. Being a foot's not better than being the hand. They're the same. If my brain decides that, you know, everybody knows the heart is where it's at, man, I want to be the heart, then the body is going to suffer as a result. Every part has value. Every gift has value. And that's made perfectly clear in the first part of the text this morning. So it's clear to me that God isn't calling us. God doesn't want us to covet someone else's gift because for some reason we think that's a better gift. No, it's not. Your best gift, the best gift for you, is the one that God gave you. And there is no better gift than that. And it's going to be different than the gift that someone else has. And the body, the church, works best when every person earnestly desires and seeks to walk in their best gift, the best gift for you. So each one of us should be praying, God, show me what that is. God, help me to walk in the gift that you've given me. Don't let me be distracted by wanting what someone else has. No, help me to serve in the gift you've given me. And don't spend your time wishing that you had this gift or that gift. It doesn't matter. There are no second-class gifts, but earnestly desire the best gift. That is the best gift for you. Now, speaking of earnestly desiring things and earnestly desiring the best gifts, if you earnestly desire something, okay, that must mean you don't quite have it all the way yet. Unless we're talking about your relationship with your spouse. You should keep on earnestly desiring your spouse even after you're married, okay, just to be clear. But generally speaking, if you earnestly desire something, you don't have it completely yet. Otherwise, you wouldn't be earnestly desiring it. So one thing that's clear, I think that means that we should be growing in our spiritual gifts. Grow in your spiritual gifts. You're not there yet, and neither am I. And if God gave us our fully functional gifts, just like that, everything that we were going to have, we had right at the beginning when he gave us the gift, then I don't believe he would have told us to earnestly desire our spiritual gifts. But God has placed within each of us a particular, specific gifting, and it doesn't come from our parents. It doesn't come from what we learned in school. It doesn't come from what we've done in ourselves. It's a gift. And there's growth to be done. There's growth to happen. You know, I think back several years to when Jamie and I bought for our kids an outdoor play set. And it was this whole kit. And it came in all these different boxes. And there was, you know, the slide and the rock climbing wall. And there's a picnic table and a roof. And all this lumber for framing it up. And all these bolts and nuts and everything. So I had all these boxes. And I could have just taken the boxes to the backyard and put the boxes back in the yard and said, "Hey, kids, I got you a gift." And that wouldn't be untrue. Yeah, it was a gift. And they probably would have enjoyed it. They would have played with the boxes for days. You know how kids do that. But it wasn't until I took the time to, you know, get my tools out and actually start putting the thing together and tighten some bolts and follow some directions and put some time and effort into it that it started to take its intended form, that it started to become functional in the way that it was supposed to be, that the kids could really use it in the way that it was designed to be used. And God has put gifts into our lives. They're there, but there's some assembly required. And He'll help you with the assembly. He wants to help you with the assembly. But first you have to recognize that the gift has been given. The gift is there. And then you have to desire it. And you have to put effort into it. And as you go and as you start putting the pieces together and seeing that gifting being built in your life, then you start to see the functionality of it. Oh, that's how it was supposed to be used. That's how this works out in my life. And you can't see it until it starts to come together. There's growth that needs to happen. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Folks, God is building something worthwhile in each of us. He's building something worthwhile in you. His work is ongoing, and it will bear fruit. And part of His work in us is to build in us the gifts that He will use to allow us to accomplish His goals in our lives and His goals in the church as a community. And as we move forward as a church, as a body of Christ, into the future that God has for us, we will be at our best as a church when we acknowledge our gifts and we acknowledge the gifts of other people. And we don't want the gift that somebody else has, but we pursue our own gifts, the gift that God has given us. What a privilege that God would see fit to put a piece of His Spirit into my life, into your life. That God would, it's like He takes you in His hand, He looks around and says, you know what, I know just the right thing. I know just what Sarah needs to do what I've called her to do. You know what, I know just what Jim needs to do what I've called him to do. And He puts those gifts into our lives. Do you recognize your gifts? If you do, pursue them. Grow in them. There's growth to be done. If you don't know what your gift is, that's okay. But it's something to start praying about. It's something to start digging into and looking into. Seek the best gift. Earnestly desire the best gift for you. Would you pray with me this morning as the worship team comes forward? Lord, we want to thank You this morning for Your gifts. With the world being what it is, it's so messed up. Lord, we need every ounce of You that You can pour into our lives to help us, Lord, to find and to develop our spiritual gifts. Not so that we can take pride in ourselves, not so that we can lift ourselves up or put someone else down or desire someone else's gift. None of that, but so that we can glorify You in our communities, in our families, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.